Television is often considered the natural enemy of reading. But according to many librarians and publishers, one of the most influential forces steering young people to good books these days is a television program. Reading Rainbow on public TV is aimed at the youngest readers, children aged 5 to 8. Ira Glass tuned in and prepared this report.
Reading Rainbow is trying to give reading a good name. There's no hard evidence about whether the show makes readers out of non-readers. In New York, I found a lot of kids who never heard of the program, and others who were referred to good children's books through Reading Rainbow.
I got the clown book. When they book reviewed it on the show, I liked the way it sounded, so I went to the library and got it.
I saw a book called Hot Air Henry, and I really liked it a lot, and I'm still looking for it.
I saw Where the Wild Things Are, and I went to the library and I got that book.
Unlike Sesame Street, Reading Rainbow doesn't try to teach kids to actually read. Instead, the show tries to get kids excited about what they'll find in good books by focusing on one book in each half-hour episode. The book is read aloud, with sound effects and original music, often by well-known performers like James Earl Jones, Gilda Radner, or in this case, comedian Ruth Buzzi, reading a story about substitute teachers.
My name is Viola Swamp,
said the lady in a scratchy voice.
And I'm here to whip this class into shape. Get back to those desks on the double.
During the reading, we don't see the performer, but the illustrations from the book. The camera is in constant motion across these illustrations, zooming in on objects as they're mentioned in the story, cutting from face to face. Sometimes there's a touch of animation. A character's hand will move, or a spaceship will fly. But executive producer Twyla Liggett says animation is used sparingly so the children watching won't forget that they're looking at pages from a book.
We had a long discussion one day about, were we getting across the bookness of the book? It's very important to us that the children understand that this is a book. And we want the kids, when they go get that book, to immediately recognize, that's the book I saw on television.
The actual reading of the book on Reading Rainbow only takes about 10 minutes or so. The rest of the show is filled with little vignettes and documentaries hosted by actor LeVar Burton, related to the main theme of the book of the day. For example, after a story about disguises, one segment had a Hollywood makeup artist put monster makeup on LeVar Burton. For a story about a boy who wanted only to return his library books on time, even after being abducted by aliens from outer space, there were several Reading Rainbow segments filmed in the Library of Congress in Washington, plus a brief satirical cartoon about librarians.
Have you ever had a library card?
No.
All right, a new library card. Then you'll have to speak to Mr. Conan.
Conan?
Yes, Conan, the librarian.
Conan the librarian notwithstanding, there are some close links between the public libraries and Reading Rainbow. Librarians help choose books for the show, and most episodes tell children to go to their local library for the books they see on Reading Rainbow.
This is a typical display that we would have in a branch library. It's a book trough, and this particular one has colorful letters indicating Reading Rainbow.
Wendy Caldiero, who supervises children's reading rooms for the 33 branches of the New York Public Library in the Bronx, says demand for the books featured on Reading Rainbow has visibly risen over the last 3 years, to the point where each branch orders 75 to 125 new copies of Reading Rainbow books each year.
Because it is a television program, it has given credence to these books. They've become special in a way that we as librarians simply can't make a book special.
In a national survey last year by the American Library Association, a third of children's librarians said they saw some previously unmotivated children become well-motivated readers because of Reading Rainbow. But this data is pretty soft. Librarians and booksellers say the much more visible and obvious effect of the show is to take kids who already use libraries and bookstores and refer them to some of the most rewarding children's books, books that are more likely to lead them into a lifetime habit of reading. Frank Johnson, director of marketing for Harper's and Row's Children's Division, the third largest children's publisher in the U.S., says Reading Rainbow allows his company to take kids' books of literary merit and release them widely in paperback.
Many of the more commercial properties in children's books are Saturday morning cartoon shows, movies, or various other consumer packaged goods. The titles that are selected by Reading Rainbow are selected for their intrinsic literary merit, both in terms of text and illustration. And I think this is one of the fantastic things that's happened with Reading Rainbow, because these books typically would not be disseminated.
Johnson says a picture book of literary merit typically sells 3,000 to 4,000 copies if it's not on Reading Rainbow. If it is chosen for the show, Harper's releases it in paperback and sells 20,000 to 40,000 copies a year. Publishers say that next to winning a prestigious award like a Newbery or Caldecott Medal, getting on Reading Rainbow is the biggest thing that can boost a book's sales. Books chosen for the show are printed with a small Reading Rainbow emblem on the cover, which functions like a good housekeeping seal of approval for parents.
Okay, big smile. Thank you.
Reading Rainbow is now in production for its fifth season. These kids are auditioning for a segment at the end of the show where three children each review and recommend books. Reading Rainbow airs on almost all public TV stations twice a day during the summer. During the school year, it's still on in many cities, and video cassettes of the show are in bookstores and toy stores. For National Public Radio, I'm Ira Glass.